This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Okay, what we were hinting at is out of the bag here. I can stop being so coy. So this was a total coincidence. I just want to throw that out there. This was not set up this way. So earlier in the week, Daniel Alfredsson gets into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Obviously, we're all right, let's go full court press. Let's get Alfie on. Let's get Jason Spezza on. I'm in touch with CJ. I'm like, he's with me later in the week. Let's do a few other things. Let's maybe reach out to Jacques Martin. Hey, let's reach out to Rick Bonus. So we got Rick Bonus. And Rick came on with us today. Just worked out that way. Came on today. And I've been hearing a bunch of things and heard this earlier in the day, and now it's become official. And JR was hearing similar things. So when JR was being a little cryptic at the end of TSN mornings, that's what that was about. And I was as well. And basically we were somewhat dancing around the name Bonus. Rick Bonus is not rejoining the Ottawa Senators. But yes, his son is. Ryan Bonus, who is a director of pro scouting with the Pittsburgh Penguins, is now an assistant general manager with the Ottawa Senators. So Ryan, who's been working in the league for a number of years, and we heard Rick tell the story when he was able to have a day with the Cup, when Pittsburgh won a Cup a number of years ago back out east. So Ryan Bonus is an assistant general manager leaving the Pittsburgh Penguins to join the Sen staff here. And there is an internal promotion. Trent Mann, chief amateur scout, he has been promoted also with the title of assistant general manager. So there you go. There's the Sens front office news that we were kind of hinting at, teasing a little bit throughout the day here. So you have one replacement because Peter McTavish left. Pierre McGuire was let go. So the external coming in is one person in Ryan Bonus, and there is an internal promotion. So we'll see if there's still more to come, possibly, in the front office with the Ottawa Senators. But you knew that they had to do a few things. That process has begun. Chris Stevenson, your thoughts on these moves, one promotion from within and this external hire, and it's Rick Bonus's son.
I've had the opportunity to get to know Ryan over the years. We would talk frequently when he would show up at Senators games in his various capacities as he rose through the ranks as an NHL executive. And, you know, we had an obvious connection. Knew him since he was a kid. And I think it's a wonderful hire. And I know most people listening will probably expect me to say that because of personal connection. But talking to people for whom Ryan worked, telling me how impressed they were with the quality of his work, the fact that he's been a part of a Stanley Cup champion, and his background is in pro scouting, which I think we can all agree is an area that the Senators needed to improve. So I think bringing him in, and you look at the structure of it now, Trent Mann is an assistant general manager, has got the amateur side covered off. I haven't heard this from anybody with the organization or whatever. I'm just basing it on what I know about the individuals involved. You've got an assistant GM now that's had a wonderful command of the amateur scene. And I think Ryan Bonus is going to come in and be a guy that's going to be able to really help them on the pro side. So, you look at the strengths of the people that you are bringing in to join the organization, what they bring to the table in different ways. I think there's a great synergy there because they've got guys now whose areas of expertise are different and accomplished in both areas. So Got a couple of assistant GMs now that that know the amateur ranks and the pro ranks. So I see nothing that I see this as nothing but a really, really positive move in terms of building a front office.
External hire was necessary, and I think hires are still necessary. So that's good.
Well, you've got to replace Trent Mann now. Is you know you're gonna promote somebody to become your new chief amateur scout. I'm assuming, which means another opening for somebody to come into the amateur side in terms of scouting.
Well, and it's I like the fact that they did have a significant promotion from within.
Yep.
Just in general, right? Because it is a fairly small staff that I know does, you know, works extremely hard. And I think it's good to do that internally as well, to reward staff that have been here. And I think that sends a good message that, you know, I think everybody wants that, whatever you do for a living, right? The ability to climb the ranks, you know, from within. And so this is a nice feather in the cap with Trent Mann as well. Getting the assistant general manager title. Now more will come out of this. I'm just what we know here from the official release. Just to get some of the quotes. This is from Pierre Dorion. Trent's promotion and Ryan's hiring represent two significant additions to our front office staff. On top of the success they have achieved in the NHL, both are excellent hockey minds, hard workers, quality leaders. Trent is shown to be one of the top evaluators of amateur talent in the industry and has progressed to become an invaluable resource to the entire organization. Ryan is a critical thinker whose experience would allow him to contribute to a wide variety of areas. His success in professional scouting, along with his ability to communicate in detail, makes him an ideal complement to our hockey group. So there's the statement from the general manager. Now, draft's a week from tonight, first round. So Trent Mann is still, you know, heading up the amateur side here.
For sure.
Of the scouting department. I'm curious to see if that will continue. Like, because every hockey department can be a little bit different. Like, some AGMs are somewhat de facto, you're still running a scouting side.
Yep.
It is interesting that you've elevated one assistant general to assistant general manager to flank Pierre Dorion, and that is your current chief amateur scout, who's done a heck of a job. And on the other side, you've created, on his other wing, if you will, it is a longtime director of pro scouting for another franchise. So Pierre Dorion is now flanked by two people that have backgrounds in scouting, but one's pro, one's amateur. So you would think, however it is structured below that, I would guess they're still going to be somewhat the head of those departments, right?
Yeah.
Would that not make sense? So I wonder what it will look like specifically under Trent Mann, as he's now the assistant general manager and he has been the team's lead amateur scout. Does that somewhat kind of continue even though he doesn't have that title? I don't know. I hope so. I hope he still has his hand in it.
Oh, for sure. It'd be foolish not to.
All right, we got to go because we got a guest, but there's some breaking news from the Ottawa Senators. We'll take a quick break and Russ Jackson get to speak to a legend. I'm speaking to one all day and CJ, but I get to speak to another legend courtesy of CJ who lined this up. Russ Jackson's going to join us next. We'll talk about Nathan Rourke. Is he got the potential to be the best Canadian quarterback in the CFL since Russ Jackson? Lions and Red Blacks tonight on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back to it. In the Box continues on TSN 1200. We'll take you right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. At that point, we'll hand it off to the boys down at TD Place. The drive will come from TD Place from 2 to 6 with Graham Creech and Lever Sage. And then Lee will stick around and host a pregame show with James Duke Ellingson. And then A.J. Jakubek and Jeff Avery will have the call. It's been a long time after the bye week last week, but the Red Blacks are back at it. 7:30 kickoff tonight against the visiting B.C. Lions. To talk more about the game and maybe talk a lot about the B.C. Lions quarterback, who's quite the buzz early this season in the Canadian Football League, and that's Nathan Rourke, who is a Canadian and doing some great things early on here, and it's when we think about great Canadian quarterbacks, there's one guy at the top of that list, and it's our pleasure to go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and welcome in the great Russ Jackson. Russ, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm fine. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Well, really, it's great to speak with you because not to put too much pressure on Nathan, okay, but his early success has people bringing up your name a lot. And it's so great to see a Canadian quarterback been given a real opportunity, number one, and also he's making the most of it early here. What are your thoughts on seeing a Canadian playing so well under center early this season in the CFL?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's been a long time. We've had some Canadian quarterbacks in the last 25 years, but none of them have been able to stick. Nathan is getting off to a great start. There's a long road ahead of him, and I just hope that not too much pressure is put on him by especially you, the media,
yeah.
who want to make something of it. He knows enough and is being coached well enough that he realizes it's a long road and two games don't make a career.
Now, he grew up playing Canadian three-down football, and whenever we hear people talk about quarterbacks from the States coming up here, it's always, you know, adjusting to the larger field, the motion, the extra man. How much – now, he went down and played NCAA football, so he's been away from Canadian football for a while. But how much do you think that helped him just having his roots in the Canadian game from the quarterback standpoint?
Well, I think it has to help. I think that certainly realizing that you have three downs instead of four and the size of the field and the various other things, the end zone and so on, makes a difference. But it's football, no matter where you play it. And certainly I don't think that's the complete reason he's having such success. He's got to have an ability to read defenses in that quarterback spot. And also plays are coming in from the sideline now, and I think that helps a great deal. You don't have to be thinking ahead and arranging what you're trying to do over a period of maybe 10 or 12 plays.
Yep.
You just have to be able to perform and execute.
Now, this goes beyond, this is a really good young quarterback. He's playing really well early. That would be a story unto itself, but what pushes it over the top, and you're right, you know, we asked you to come on today for an obvious reason. This is a Canadian. Can you take us back to the pressure of, you know, you're starting out, you get your opportunity, you're a young Canadian quarterback, and you went on to have a fabulous career here. But at that point in time as well, we didn't see a ton of Canadian quarterbacks, and it was notable when you pushed through, Russ. Can you think back to that time and maybe some of the pressure involved?
Well, I think that the thing that worked well for me was that I fit into the Ottawa Rough Riders. Rough Riders sounds like a real long time ago. When I fit into their particular offense really well. They were running the ball a lot, not throwing the ball. In fact, Frank Trepuka was traded from Saskatchewan to Ottawa while I was there, and he was the quarterback, but he was a throwing quarterback, and he didn't fit into the Ottawa offense the way Frank Clair wanted to have it run. And I happened to be that guy. I could throw the ball fairly well, but I could run, and that helped a great deal in terms of my introduction into professional football. I might have gone to a different team in the late 50s and not had that much success because their offense wasn't geared to my strengths. And I think right now Nathan's got an offense that fits his strengths. He throws the ball really well, and you can't say he doesn't with the completions he's got, and teams are now aware of that, and it'll be interesting to see what teams do to try and make him change a little bit and not throw the ball all the time.
Yeah, that's where I was going next, Russ, is that's part of the fun of the cat and mouse game, right? As defensive coordinators look at what the strengths of the BC Lions offense have been and what Nathan Rourke's strengths have been. How much of a challenge is that going to be for this young man to be able to overcome the new wrinkles that I'm sure even here tonight that the, you know, the Benavides led defense for the Red Blacks is going to throw at him?
Well, he's been using his receivers very well, and he knows they can help him. Maybe soon he's going to have to use his running back in terms of getting the offense rolling, and that's something we just have to wait and see what the other defense, the other team's defenses decide they want to do to take away this pass, because anybody who throws almost 50 passes in one game isn't running the ball very often in terms of using running backs, and that all has to incorporate into what he is going to learn. And hopefully, and I'm sure, the coaching staff, especially the offensive coordinator with the BC Lions, realizes.
Speaking with a Rough Rider and CFL great Russ Jackson, Lions in town, Nathan Rourke under center for the Lions tonight, taking on the Red Blacks. And I think I partially know the answer to my next question, Russ, some of your answers you've already given. You know, how dialed in are you in general to the CFL game, you know, in taking it all in and watching all the teams?
Well, I'm dialed in. I have season tickets here in Hamilton, and I've had them for quite a few years. So I still go to football games, even though I'm getting a little older, and the cold weather is not pleasant anymore. But I still attend them. I enjoy them. I look forward to watching teams play, and I guess I still watch the football game a little bit like a quarterback. Somebody might say, oh, well, great tackle down there, but I was watching what happened in the backfield and not watching the other part of the game. So I still enjoy it, still enjoy going with my wife, and we have lots of friends around us. We've been in these seats for quite a few years.
Ticats fan now or still an Ottawa fan?
Oh, I'm an Ottawa fan, but I do wish the Tiger Cats well, naturally. But I must admit, if Ottawa comes into town, I take quite a rising from the football fans, not only just around me, but those that go up and down the aisle and know where I sit and so on. And I take it, and it's kind of fun. I mean, that's what competition is all about. You want people to support you, and you want them to razz the other teams. I mean, we were at the Calgary game recently that went into overtime. And it was interesting that there was one young man, he looked like he'd be about 18 years old, and he had a Calgary jersey on, and he had a big Calgary flag on a flagpole that he had. And every time Calgary scored, he ran up and down the stairs. He had to be about 18 years old to do that, but with carrying the flag, and the fans, the Tiger Cat fans got to cheer for him, which was kind of neat. You know, it wasn't a big deal that he was doing it and the Hamilton fans were booing him. They got to the point where they were cheering because he was a young football fan, probably lived in Hamilton, but he was a Calgary Stampeder fan, and he was letting the people know it.
That's awesome. Now, as a guy,
you'd have some fun. Yeah,
as a somebody who's followed the Ticats closely, of course, the starting quarterback for the Red Blacks, Jeremiah Masoli, now came from Hamilton. What can give us your scouting report on him and what Red Blacks fans can expect for the rest of the season, because it's been a pretty good start for him so far.
Well, Masoli was a good quarterback and a very good quarterback here in Hamilton, but Hamilton had Evans behind him, and they just weren't winning the big games with Masoli. That seemed to be the problem, and I think that might have been the problem, and they felt that it was time to change and give Evans the chance. But Evans is having the same kind of problem, not getting much pass protection either, but he's having the same kind of problem of not being able to put it together and win football games. Whereas Masoli in Ottawa, he's playing well for them, but they haven't won that yet. And you wonder if that's going to follow him into Ottawa, the same, I think, problem that he had here in Hamilton, that they plays well, completes a lot of passes, but just can't make that last drive to win the football game.
Well, and that was the story the first two games. They could have won either of those games against the Blue Bombers, but just did not finish off enough drives, and it could be a different story, but it's not horseshoes. You don't get that opportunity. Since you've been, you know, a Hamilton season ticket holder for so long, I'm just going to draw it back. So Evans and Masoli, before that, it was Zach Caleros. And unfortunately, for a stretch there, we wondered if his career was over with the concussions. You know, just as a quarterback and his strong quarterback play, how pleased are you to see him get over his injuries? He's found that home in Winnipeg, and he's probably, arguably, become the best pivot in the league.
Well, I think I'm glad for him. I'm glad that he didn't get put out of the game because of injuries. There were a few of them were very questionable, too, as I recall, that the concussions were hits. And as I say, a couple of them were kind of questionable. But I think that he had the abilities. He just took them to the right team. They're running an offense that he handles very well. And his success, well, it's known with the Grey Cups two back-to-back. So I'm very pleased for him. I'm always pleased when a quarterback who does get hurt comes back and has success.
Still keep in touch with a lot of your old Rough Riders teammates, Russ?
Well, we do, not as much as we used to. We had a big reunion a couple of years ago with the 69 Grey Cup group, It was great to see them. And I think almost everybody who is still alive and was able to make it was there. And we got presented with our Grey Cup rings, actually. A little late, but better late than never. Anyhow, it was great, and I still try and get down for a couple of games a year. I'm hoping to get down for the game when they hang the names of Kenny Lehman and Soupy Campbell up on the wall, which has been delayed a little bit because of the COVID.
Yep.
But I'm hoping to get down to that one. I believe it's early in August. And usually I get down for the golf tournament. Not that the golf is any good now, for me anyway. But still get down and see lots of the guys at that function. So still try and get down and see a few football games. And the club is always good to me when I do go down there.
Awesome, and as they should. Russ, really appreciate a few minutes of your time today to talk and reminisce and talk about young Nathan Rourke, who's off to a great start with the BC Lions. Now, when I was teeing you up, I said, we're going to have Russ Jackson on the show in the 1 o'clock hour. And I said, guaranteed, whenever you've been on the station over the years, I will always see emails or texts, sometimes both come in, from somebody that you taught or some kind of a connection, and that I was not disappointed. This was sent in from Sean. Looking forward to the interview with Russ Jackson. Patty O'Connor says hi to Russ, her first boss at Champlain High School, and that comes from Sean, a longtime season ticket holder. So there you go. Your connection's still pretty deep here in Ottawa.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I enjoyed my career in education as much as I did the one in football. Mm.
Thanks a lot, Russ. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
As Russ Jackson joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. And that's, it's still somewhat like there's a lot of guys that play in the CFL today that they have off-season jobs, right? Like it's not.
Right.
There's a good part of the league. This can be your only job, but there's a lot of guys that you're doing something else. Well, as we know, back in Russ's day, that was quite common. It's like, all right, you want to play in the CFL? Okay, what are you going to do for a job? You know, you're going to make some money doing this, but you're going to do. And Russ Jackson, he taught for years, and influenced a lot of young lives in this town. Not only just because maybe they're a football fan. Like, can you imagine, right? Russ Jackson's like the best quarterback in the CFL on these great Rough Rider teams. His name's in the paper almost every day. Imagine, and then you go to school, and then he's teaching you. Like, it's a different world. You can't even wrap your head around that, something like that today. So,
yep.
Good stuff there from Russ Jackson. All right, a little bit behind here. We'll play a little catch up. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take you right through to the top of the hour. And we're going to hand it off to Lever Sage and Graham Creech sitting in on the drive today because AJ will be busy tonight. He's got the call with Jeff Avery starting at 7:30 this evening. Pre-game show is going to start at 6 with Lee and Duke. It's the Lions and Red Blacks tonight on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, CJ, did okay today. Rick Bonus and Russ Jackson. You're going to go Costanza and just leave me for the last 24 minutes? I'm out.
That's right. I'm done.
I'm done.
Good job on my show.
Oh, man.
Talk to you Monday.
And, Russ Jackson, just always
I've had the chance to interview him a few times over the years, and it's always so cool. Like, what's 86 years young next month is Russ Jackson.
Sharp as ever.
So sharp. Sharp as ever, and still a season ticket holder in Hamilton. And when you think back to that time, this is long before Ottawa. Well, okay, when he was starring for the Rough Riders, Ottawa, it was closer to when the Senators left from when the Senators came back. Right? We're right around there.
Yeah.
That's another way to phrase that. Okay, so, and football was this was and still is, but really back then, this was a football town. I mean, the Rough Riders were huge, and it was a huge deal. And can you imagine that the star player on the team is also teaching you whatever math or whatever it is? You go to the Rough Riders game, you cheer them on, and then you go to class, and it's like, hey, Mr. Jackson, sorry, I shouldn't. Yes, I'll raise my hand next time. Good luck next week.
Yeah. I went into the control room there with Maddie, and I said, how cool is that? You know, how often do you get to talk to football royalty? And that's really the way that I feel about Russ Jackson and the Rough Riders, you know, Ottawa, the CFL. Like, it transcends what he did on the field, where he is, you know, never mind a great Canadian quarterback. He was one of the greatest quarterbacks in CFL history. Never mind the nationality. But, yep. You know, and just listening to the way that he spoke there and the way that he's carried himself off the field, that's the way I really feel. Like, it is football royalty, and we're blessed that, you know, Ottawa football fans has that have that association with Russ Jackson. And looking forward to him talking about coming back up in August when they're going to honor some other Rough Rider greats.
So just a little bit of the bio of Russ Jackson. He was the 6th overall pick in the 1958 CFL draft. Enjoyed a career all with the Rough Riders from 1958 to 1969. A 3-time Grey Cup champion, retired a champion in 1969, also won in 68 and 1960. A 3-time CFL All-Star and multi-time CFL East All-Star. 3-time CFL Most Outstanding Player, 1963, 1966, and 1969. Grey Cup MVP, 1969. Lou Marsh Trophy, 1969. So talk about going out.
Wow.
On a high.
Yep.
When your career wrapped up. You win the MOP, the Grey Cup, and the Lou Marsh for top athlete in the country. Order of Canada a year later in 1970. Canada Sports Hall of Fame in 1975. Number 12 is retired by the Rough Riders, and also it was good at the Red Blacks also did retire Russ Jackson's number 12. Nobody's going to wear 12. So, and just to speak with him, so humble, and some great stuff on Nathan Rourke. And he's right. Like, he worries about the pressure, right? Because we're reaching out to him. Yeah. Why do you want to talk to Russ Jackson today? I wonder why. Well, Nathan Rourke's in town, right? And as we all know, there is more external pressure. Maybe I didn't put that right. I think it's easier for external pressure to creep in for athletes than it's ever been, right? Because of social media.
For
just
sure.
Crush of media in general.
Just, yeah, just the media.
Fans
the,
are easier to reach out and get to you as well, right?
We have 24-hour sports stations now, which didn't exist, right?
No, if you were thinking external pressure was coming, you know, it's like, all right, at least I got a day or two till the paper gets it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You don't have to worry about, hey, better check in the next 10 minutes to see if something's gone viral.
Yeah.
But, all right, good stuff there from Russ Jackson. We got a little more news from Hockey Canada on that front, CJ, as we were talking to Russ. So, Victor Mete came out with his statement and outlining he wasn't even in the country, let alone in London at that point, and he was on that team, but he was not at that celebration in London back in 2018. And then I went through the list of companies that are pulling away from Hockey Canada. And as I started to rhyme them off, I opine that maybe it's kind of shorter to go at it from the other end. Like, who's still on board?
Yep, good point.
Well, there's Katie Strang has added two more. Swiss Chalet and The Keg are suspending their partnership, effective immediately. In light of recent news, an event surrounding Hockey Canada has been decided that Recipe, Swiss Chalet, and The Keg will suspend partnership support effective immediately. Our company focuses on creative, inclusive, and safe spaces for our teammates and guests. We expect the same from our partners. We continue to be in contact with Hockey Canada to outline our expectations for change and to ensure the right steps are being taken to pave a safer and more inclusive future for hockey in Canada, end quote. And most of the companies that have outright pulled support, partnership, some of them specific to the upcoming World Juniors, the tone has been the same in that it's open-ended, right? I think all of these companies will be watching very closely what comes from these hearings late next month. And if it's positive that real change is happening, concrete commitments are being made, then you will see sponsorships come back. But this is a pivotal, pivotal moment in the history of Hockey Canada. And in particular, those two hearings next month. The two most important days ever, really, in Hockey Canada, when you think about it. About what will emerge from this? What will it look like? It was thrown out by a few texters, and fair point, good question to ask. Is this going to be a scorched earth rebuild?
Yeah.
Or can you have enough change and commitment from within that you can still call it this and move forward? That's a good question.
It's a great question. And I think because there are so many stakeholders, and going back to what I was touching on earlier in the show, just about how, corporate responsibility has changed so much that it's out of Hockey Canada. I feel right now it's out of Hockey Canada's hands, like in terms of what their future is going to hold. Their future now is going, and the way it's going to look and feel and sound is out of Hockey Canada's hands. That determination now is going to be made by the government that supplies its funding and by its corporate partners who supply funding in the way of sponsorship money. And all those stakeholders are going to have to be at the table, and they are going to have a large hand in terms of what determines how Hockey Canada is going to look coming out of this. Hockey Canada doesn't make a product, a concrete product. It needs money to do what it does. It can sell sponsorships. Most importantly, what it sells, its most important product, is its brand and the need of corporate sponsors to associate themselves with that brand. And that brand right now has been irreparably harmed, I think. So it's going to be very interesting now to see what all the stakeholders, what their vision, what it's going to take for them to get back on board and turn those taps back on again. And you might say, well, what's Canadian Tire going to have to say about the way Hockey Canada should function? Canadian Tire is going to have a lot to say. If it wants to continue affiliating itself with the new brand, and that's why I keep going back to this ESG stuff, like the corporations are going to want to have a squeaky clean Hockey Canada now. They're going to need to be convinced of change, concrete, palpable change for them to get back on board. So there are going to be a lot of people who are going to have important voices in terms of what Hockey Canada, at least, they're not going to tell Hockey Canada how to run grassroots hockey. That is Hockey Canada's job. But they are going to have a lot to say about the checks and balances that need to be in place for them to be an acceptable partner. And for once again, Hockey Canada to be a brand, that's their most important commodity that they have to sell, is companies wanting to affiliate themselves, to attach themselves to the Hockey Canada brand. And that's not a place anywhere corporate Canada really should be right now. So it's going to be a very interesting and, I think, long process to get to a point where, if it's even called Hockey Canada again, what this new brand is going to be and how it's going to be run and what are its values and what are the checks and balances in place to make sure that the culture of hockey is changed.
And in the meantime, partnerships and sponsorships are being suspended and dissolving for the time being.
Yeah.
And I just want to, because a bunch of texts came in, and listen, I don't want to make sure that I'm acknowledging this, and I read these texts earlier, and they were good ones, questioning, you know, our company, right, and our parent company. Like TSN, yep, is every Hockey Canada tournament. It's on TSN.
Yep.
It's a big partnership with Bell Media and TSN. So as we have this conversation, again, here, I just, if you're listening right now, many of you are probably listening, well, what about, well, yes, acknowledged. I wonder what could be in the offing. Some questions came in through text about could we see something about the World Juniors in terms of how it's broadcast, how that relationship is, yep, right now.
Yeah.
With something that is a huge part of what we're a part of here in the kind of the TSN family in covering Hockey Canada events.
Yep.
Well, it's a fair point to be made, no question about it.
Absolutely.
Got some. We just missed it. We could have threw something else. Did you see the news coming out as we're just speaking to Russ Jackson? And I didn't see it because it was just happening. Trey Ford's listed as a starting quarterback for Edmonton coming up on Friday, and not Nick Arbuckle, Canadian.
Yeah,
we're gonna have another Canadian quarterback starting this week in the CFL along with Nathan Rourke tonight. So it seems like we go forever. We're really not seeing much of this at all, right? Like we've had a few spot things here and there, like Brandon Bridge, but now we've got the story of Rourke, how well he's playing, and now the 0-3 Edmonton Elks are turning away from Arbuckle, and they're going with the Canadian.
Pretty cool, huh?
And we had Russ Jackson on, so it's all coming together, CJ. Yeah. It's all about you, really. It was your Russ Jackson karma in getting him on the show. Yeah. Speaking of which, some more text came in. I love reading this stuff. I really do. Mr. Russ Jackson is pure class. Had the opportunity to meet and talk to him a few times, a true gentleman and a legend. That's Randy in Westboro. Great interview, guys. He was my hero growing up. Very smart man, always conducted himself with great class. He very much had the respect of his entire team. That's Dave and SF. I assume you mean Smith Falls, Dave. Westboro Rob, I had Soupy Campbell as a substitute teacher at Nepean. That was fun.
I was going to say that must have been a trip. I had the opportunity to hang around Mr. Campbell a few times.
Was he a lot of fun, CJ?
Yes, he was. He lived life on a grand scale, yes.
Oh, nice. All right, back to some of the Sens news that officially broke at 1. So if you missed that, we were kind of teasing it. We'd heard a bunch of things, and by sheer coincidence, we had Rick Bonus on the show today. On the same day, his son, Ryan Bonus, was hired by the Ottawa Senators as an assistant general manager. Ryan Bonus, for the last number of years, had been the director of pro scouting with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they also promoted from within Trent Mann, chief amateur scout, now also an assistant general manager with the Sens. So congrats to both gentlemen. Caleb says, congrats to Trent. So well-deserved. Guy keeps hitting dingers. So there you go. He's done a great job on the amateur side, the drafting over the last number of years. Yes, they hired someone on the professional scouting side. Cheers, Pasquale. Keep those coming here, but that's the big Sens news here. Now, we also have back to so many things have happened the last half hour, so I'm going back and forth.
Yep.
But a lot of your text messages have come in on the Hockey Canada. This one,
Let's not be too quick to bury Hockey Canada over the settlement. The facts of the case and the reasons for the settlement remain shrouded in secrecy. There were no criminal charges laid. Hockey Canada has led the way dealing with sex abuse by coaches, trainers, etc. There are thousands of kids in Canada playing hockey. They represent a broad cross-section of society. Why would we expect that being a hockey player automatically means that some of them won't act stupidly or criminally, and that this would be an indictment of the entire hockey leadership? We should be working to identify specific systematic problems and resolve them. Unsigned. Yeah, well, I agree with a lot of what you said.
That's kind of like what we're talking about. They need to find
ways.
We
should be working to identify specific systematic problems and resolve them. They haven't told anybody unsigned. If it wasn't for Rick Westhead, we wouldn't even know about this.
Yeah.
And then saying, oh, how many of these a year? Oh, two or three. Two or three?
Bingo.
It's about the secrecy.
Yeah.
Shrouded in secrecy. Why is that unsigned? Why is it shrouded in secrecy? Whose fault is that? Why is this in the shadows? I agree with a lot of what you said. Don't get me wrong. You're right. And I said that earlier. It's not fair to say, oh, this is just about hockey and it's just Hockey Canada. It's no, it's not. But you got to be more transparent.
Yeah.
Of what's going on here than what's happened to this point.
And
it's
this
a farce of what it's been so far.
Right. And this would go for any company, as I keep going, you know, back to this theme over and over, that consumers, if they're buying your product or if it's your brand that you're selling, companies that want to affiliate with that brand, the standards are changing every day in terms of what's acceptable. And what makes this situation even more complicated, maybe it makes it simpler. Government money is involved here. Government money is involved here. And that's why change is going to be hastened at Hockey Canada. That's another big pressure point in all of this. There's a government inquiry. So are you going to be able to completely eradicate this type of behavior in society? No. It's been with us forever. But what you need to do as a corporate entity is to show that you're doing everything that you can to eradicate it. And I can understand why people are asking questions about this of hockey, because we've heard this about hockey culture. Feels like we got past the hazing thing, right? Remember, hazing was such a big thing in hockey, and there was so many things wrong with that. And this is the next thing that needs to be attacked. Now the questions are the right people in place to do that? What's the plan going to be? And are the right people in place to enact that plan? To get to a different place, a safer place. And that's the other thing that makes this different to that texter. There's kids involved here. We think of Hockey Canada mostly for its elite programs, the Olympic program, the World Championships, World Junior. But Hockey Canada, you know, is overseas minor hockey in our country. There's kids involved, which again changes the expectation, changes the level of expectation from parents in terms of what they want in terms of their child's safety. And just as importantly, what are the values are your children learning as they move up the ranks? That's what makes this different. Going back to what that texter was, the points they were making. This isn't just another company that's lost its way. It's way grander than that.
And the big reason why we're having subcommittee hearings is it's not a Crown corporation, but it accepts Crown money. So that makes it subject to review this, if you want to keep getting that. And so we're going to have those hearings coming up towards the end of next month. Okay.
Boy, we covered a lot today, all over the map here. We got it back into the Hockey Canada story because there was some more news on that today. So great lineup of guests. Thanks in large part to CJ. Got us Rick Bonus and Russ Jackson. Farhan Lalji also joined us at noon today. We got a great game down at TD Place tonight, 6 o'clock for your pregame show with Lee and Duke, AJ and Jeff Avery. We'll have the kickoff and the call at 7:30. Nathan Rourke and the BC Lions in town to take on a Red Blacks team that played quite well against the two-time defending champs the first 2 weeks, coming off their bye, hoping to get their first win of the season. That's it for me. I'm joining the world of Kenny Walls. I'll be off next week. Talk to you coming up next Monday. Happy Canada Day, everybody. The Drive is next, coming from TD Place with Graham Creech and Lever Sage on TSN 1200.
I'm going to sign off here.
My watch is ended.
I wanted to let him know his fun's done.
Three words. What a team effort it was.
Sorry about that.
Thanks for having me.
What a finish.